it's all computerized. They make sure that everything runs smoothly in your company. They're a new sponsor. I enjoy having them here, and we'll get deeper and deeper with Woodman Controls as we move along. Let's bring in David. David, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
We got a new phone system, and it worked. First try. Wow. Wow.
Well, second try.
Okay. Where do you want to start? I'm going to let you start the conversation. How's that?
Hey, I mean, there's about 1,000 different directions we can go, certainly. But, you know, I think we have to start. I know it's spring football season. Iowa fans want to turn the page. But I think it's very important that we sort of sum up each basketball season and how that sort of played out. Two, I think, very disappointing endings to, I think, what was two very fun seasons in their own regard. You know, I think we'll start with the men's team, Steen. But here's kind of my opinion. I wrote a column about this when I was still in Buffalo, which I did stay there a couple extra days. And, you know, I'm not going to complain about that. The weather was good and all that. But, you know, with the men's team, Steen, I think it was a very sour ending to what I think was a very, very fun season. But I think that it's important to appreciate what this year's team accomplished, given the very low expectations. And you have the talent like Keegan Murray. But at the same time, Steen, I think Iowa fans are really, really down the dumps right now, just with everything going on. Because if there was a year for Iowa to break the curse, get back to the Sweet 16, make a deep run in the tournament, it was this year. They were set up for it. They had the talent. They had the depth. They had the perfect setup. Providence, I still don't think, was deserving of a number 4 seed. Richmond, Iowa probably runs out of the building 9 times out of 10, but they call it March Madness for a reason. And now I think it's to the point, Steen, where I was talking to Sean Bach on our podcast, and I said, look, Iowa could go next year, not lose a game for 2.5 months, win by an average of 30 points, win the conference tournament, and come postseason, I think nobody's going to have any expectations. And I think that's the way it is with the program right now, and I think that's what's going to be until Iowa finds a way to get back to that second weekend of the tournament. And again, I still think it's very much worth celebrating what Keegan Murray did this season, what this team did this season, 26 wins, second most in school history, tied for it. But, you know, it was a very sour ending, and I think it just really, really demoralized a lot of people, especially when you take into account how the football season ended and where Iowa wrestling ended this season.
Let's go down this rabbit hole really quick before we jump over to the other side. Winning the Big Ten championship was awesome. Did it affect them? You get games all weekend, boom, you're right back into it, you celebrate a little bit. Did it have any effect at all?
You know, I think it did. And, you know, it just reminds me of, remember last year, everybody was very high on the Illinois team, Steen. And then I think I remember you and I previewing the tournament, and we were talking about Illinois. And I said, Illinois is going to get bounced early. I mean, I didn't know if I said Sweet 16 or round of 32, but they weren't going to make a Final Four. And there's a couple easy reasons that I pointed to. Io DeSumo was trying to recreate Kobe Bryant photos after they won the Big Ten championship. Now, if that's your end goal, that's fantastic. And again, it takes nothing away from it. It's still a heck of an accomplishment. I would tell Iowa the same thing. But when you experience the highest of the highs, there's a very big chance you're going to be fatigued and you're experience the lowest of the lows. And I think, and again, Iowa has the right to do what they want. They should celebrate what they did. But when you have multiple players saying, ring me, ring me, ring me all across social media, they got the trophy, they got the banner, that's all well and good, but I still think it's so difficult to go from that to just 24 hours later trying to convert, say, hey, you know what, we're trying to win 6 games, we're trying to win a national championship, we're trying to go to a Final Four. So, again, I think there's a lot to be proud of, and I'm not going to sit here and say only stick to basketball or anything like that for the players, but I think fatigue got them in the end for sure.
I agree with that. Now, here's the thing, and I've been trying to hold people accountable, and I try to hold myself accountable as well. These are young men. They don't get paid to do what they do. They enjoy it. They love it, and I don't want to ruin that. So I'm not heading that way, but I'm heading this way. I was sitting there watching the game. I was the only – and it's – I have the perception that I'm only an Iowa State fan. Not true. And you know that, David. I talk more about Iowa basketball probably not. I talk about Iowa State basketball, and I'm sitting there with all these Iowa fans, and they're looking at me going, Steen, tell us what's going on. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to say. He had lineups on the floor for at least 12 minutes at that game that you had one or two kids that could score, and the other three they didn't have to guard, and you made it too easy. I think that Fran McCaffrey had a bad game. I don't like his rotation. I didn't like anything that they did on offense at all.
I think it's fair to hold Fran accountable to some extent, but the only thing I would caution people to say to watch is if you rewatch the game, I thought Iowa got plenty of good looks from three in the first half. There was just a lid on the basket. And it was a bad game to have a bad day to have a bad game, but on top of that, more than anything else, and I agree with you to some extent about the lineups. Richmond controlled the pace of the game. Yep. And when you're playing that, you are not going to beat them. And when you lack, I think, a pure center, and it just looked clunky. Steen, the only thing I can think of over the past month where I thought Iowa really looked like that was against Nebraska when they played at Nebraska in that first half. Now, granted, Iowa had the lead at the end of that first half, but, man, those first 20 minutes were painful to watch. And, on top of that, you look at the way the shots were. Iowa left a lot of shots short. And, you know, I'll say this, too, and I mean no disrespect whatsoever to Patrick McCaffrey, because he's the only reason that Iowa ended up being in that game, especially when he hit the back-to-back threes in the second half. When you have Keegan Murray and you have some sharpshooters on that team, and if Patrick's the only one that's willing to shoot and demand the ball, that's going to be a problem. He took 17 shots. There was a 15-minute span in the game where Keegan Murray did not take one shot. That's why they lost.
And that
was just a huge reason for it.
And that's partially, to a certain extent, that's partially Keegan's fault. He's such a great player. That is the difference sometimes in that mentality. Patrick said, okay, if you guys aren't going to do it, I will. I think that's awesome that Patrick did that. And they were open looks. And you're right. That's a 15-point game if he doesn't have the last bit in the first half and in that first part in that second half. That's a 15-point loss, or worse because of how they were playing. I don't know. I think that they're going to have some opportunities next year, but you're not going to have the same type of chemistry, and you're not going to have these same guys and. It's going to be hard to swallow. Once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at David Eicholt on social media. Let's jump over to the women's side, who was an extremely tough game. And once again, I don't know. I don't think I can say anything how Lisa Bluder did anything that she shouldn't have. They worked the ball inside. One of the first things that I said, and Lisa during the game and on social media and a little bit after when I went on another person's show just to talk a little bit, and I said that what Lisa Bluder said after the game is when you have referees that ref a game one way for 35 games and then you get to this game and it was ref different, it doesn't give us enough time to make those changes in game. And that's really bad for everybody involved.
Zero debate about that, Steen. And I'll say this. I want to give credit to The Athletic. They're the ones who published this today. They got a statement from J.D. Collins, who's the NCAA's national coordinator. This is a men's basketball officiating, but I still think it applies to it. He said, he was asked about the state of officiating. And he said, I would say if I had any concern, it's the level of physicality that teams are bringing to the game. That's the dumbest excuse I've ever heard of.
I thought, man, how much that guy get paid?
Controlling the game, keep pace, be transparent with both teams. You absolutely could see a difference. I tweeted during the game, and I don't regret it, when Caitlin Clark was getting knocked the floor, grabbed and everything, there was zero calls she got. She doesn't get officiated like a superstar. Now I get it. She knows how to, quote-unquote, flop. She flails her head back. Every superstar player does that. That's part of what being a superstar is. But that doesn't dismiss the fact that they still get beat up. And, you know, on top of that, too, Steen, and I really do like Lisa's team. I like the way it's made up. But the one thing that stood out to me, and it's been a concern all year for me, but it's going to be crucial to address this during the offseason, they need a third go-to scorer.
Yep.
I love McKenna Warnock, what she brings to the table, second team All-Big Ten. Kate Martin is the glue to that team. There are some pieces. but you need another player night in and night out that can go create their own basket, because I don't think anybody but Monica and Caitlin scored till like a minute and a half left in the first half. That will not get you far in March, no matter how good those two players are. They need more help. They need a big for rebounding and defense. And I think they need one more proven shooter that can go out there and get you 10 to 12 points a game. If they can do that, then I think they're Final Four national championship level good.
So if you're looking at next year, I believe Iowa women are set up a little bit better than the men. You can help me on the men's side, but on the women's side, they have some athletes coming in, some girls that can get up and down the floor, can dribble, can handle, and can shoot. Iowa's going to be a totally different team next year. Now, they have to come and perform, but they're going to be a different team. And I would say that as there's not as many women in the transfer portal as there are men, but that's something you have to look at. You've got to get an athletic big. I mean, I know this isn't, let's say I want 2/3 of an Ashley Jones. Somebody big, somebody controlled, you know, just listen. And everybody always comes back at me. Well, Caitlin Clark's not going to want that. Caitlin Clark wants to win. She doesn't care if she scores 10 points and wins or if she scores 50 points and win. She wants to win basketball games. Her stats aren't going to get her anywhere. Wins get her somewhere.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Steen. I think that's the most popular misconception when it comes to Caitlin Clark. Yeah, she shoots logo three. She puts up mind-boggling statistics. But one, Iowa needs that. She drives the force of that team. I mean, imagine what Iowa would be without Caitlin Clark. That's no disrespect to any other girl that's on that team. But it's not the same as, oh, I don't know, what if Aaliyah Boston was on South Carolina? It was still a top five team in the country. There's no doubt about it. They have a lot of talent. But Caitlin Clark needs to put up those statistics. But at the end of the day, she wants to win. And, you know, I think they look at, you know, they get Hannah Stolke next year, who I think is going to be a very, very, very good player for Iowa over the course of her career. I think they do need to dive in the transfer portal. I don't know what their number is specifically in the women's portal, but right now for the men, there's over 600 players in there, and that's going to continue to grow by the minute. I mean, it really is crazy. But I will say, I think the men also need to address that as well. We can talk about that in a minute, but I do think that Iowa men need a point guard, I think, and, you know, another proven big in the middle to help Philip Obracha out. But, you know, to go back to what you said, Steen, about the women, Caitlin wants to win. I think if they can bring in one good transfer, I think that's going to set them up well for next year. They bring back all five starters. Getting Monica Sozano back is massive, and, of course, getting Caitlin Clark back and having the whole coaching staff together. I mean, the reality is, Steen, I don't know. I'm still going to predict Iowa women to go to an Elite Eight next year. I think they're going to have all the pieces, and this might just be what they needed to really push them to get to that Final Four level that they want to get to for next year's team.
And that's the difference, too. If I watched Connecticut play last night, struggled. That's what the NCAA is all about. When you get tournament time, teams get 4 days to prepare or more. They can work things out, and they can do things. I mean, Creighton had a plan. Creighton's coach is she's a really good coach. She knew what she needed to do. And she thought, okay, either all my girls are going to foul out and we're going to get beat by 30, or they're going to let us play and this is going to work and we're going to be close and we have a chance. And that's what happened. And I agree with you on the men's side. You have to have a shooting guard that can both shoot from the outside but take the ball to the basket. And you need to have a point guard when he's on the floor that you have to guard the entire court. And they do not have that right now.
I think we saw that against Richmond, for example.
Yep,
I
mean, didn't have to guard him at all. Gilliard,
you know, Jacob Gilliard torched Iowa. And I think to rub salt in the wound, Steen, he struggled mightily against Providence the next day.
Yep.
And, you know, I like Joe Toussaint off the bench, but I think that's what he is. I think he's a perfect backup point guard. And right now, what I've seen to Aaron Ulis, I just don't know if he's ready to be that 28 to 32 minute caliber guard that they need. So, and, you know, Jordan Bohannon leaving after being there for half a Frank McCaffrey's Iowa tenure. Iowa's going to need a proven point guard. They're going to need leadership. They're going to need a guy that can create off the bounce. I think DeSante Bowen, who's incoming, is going to be really good down the road. I don't think it's fair to put the immediate expectations on. So, there are a lot of options for Fran to look at in the transfer portal and things to add, but I also think he has a great foundation for next year. I think if Chris Murray comes back, for another season. He's a good piece. Patrick McCaffrey, again, has showed me some nice things. I think Peyton Sanford's going to be a stud.
I do,
and
too.
And I think that Tony Perkins has the chance to be a second-team All-Big Ten caliber guard next season with what he showed me over the final 6 weeks. So there are pieces there, but you also need to throw in a few more pieces for me to really consider them a big threat in the NCAA tournament. I think they're on the very fringe right now, but there's a couple pieces I still think they need to add.
I'm here to tell you, Peyton Sanford is a 2010 guy. Maybe not next year, but then the following 2 years, no doubt at all. And he's going to be fun to watch. I didn't think he was tough enough to do what he did. And he's already, I thought it'd take a while to toughen him up, but he's already there. I mean, he can hit shots. He can defend enough. And that's a big thing. Expectations for football spring games, not very far away. What are expectations for the football team right now?
I think right now, Steen, I still think that they're capable of contending for a Big Ten West title. I really do. I think with that being said, this is the most storyline riddled spring football since I started covering the team in August 2018. I think Petras will be a starting quarterback, but there's a quarterback battle. Who's going to replace Tyler Linderbaum at center? The offensive line, they're going to replace Cody Ince and a couple other people. How is the offense going to take a next step forward? Who's going to replace Zach Van Valkenburg? I think he was a great, edge guy and great leadership on the defensive line. And where's Xavier Wampa fit in that secondary? But I still think there's a lot of potential with this team. But, man, if you look at what they got to replace and the amount of storylines on this team, I mean, we could spend your entire radio show all week talking about it. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And you got Brian Ferentz. And is he or isn't he? That's going to be a tough part, too. David, as always, buddy, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, Steve. Take care, buddy.
David Eichholt. He's so good.
I know. And you look at me like I should be. I'm like, no, I don't have to say a word. You let that man run.
Just let him run. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott on 101.3 FM 1700 The Champ. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
With the rainy weather. Treated becomes very, because that's the issue with both colon right. cancer and prostate cancer. If not treated and it happens to get loose.
Yeah.
It is very aggressive and very, very fatal.
Right.
And then I look at, so here's the second part. You know me well enough now. I'm an only child. And before I went through that, my wife went through breast cancer.
Yes.
And did a great job. And they caught that early too.
Caught it early. Did
we have another friend that just went through the same thing, still going through. Monstrous,
right?
To fight as hard as they did, and all I have to do is worry that I don't I probably should be wearing Depends all the time.
Oh,
I mean, that's my biggest issue, right? And I'm thinking, okay, so maybe for a reason I got a good thing, and right. So I need to go out and do things like that. To talk to people and do that. But then you get busy, right? And then so when the year anniversary comes up, then I've sat for this past week going, I didn't do this, and 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 why didn't I do these things? And I'm like, well, you know what? I did talk about it on the show, even though I mean, it's not like people are going to invite me out to talk about prostate cancer. It's not a lot of fun. It's not a lot of fun to talk about any form of cancer. But what is fun to do and to give people hope is when you have cancer and you beat it. That's the thing that you should be talking about. And I need to do that. When I've had that conversation with my wife, is that we were very, very lucky.
Right.
And that doesn't happen all the time. And the fact that it does, you need to make sure that people do the same thing that we did. And we caught it early and we didn't go, what do they know?
Here's something that's always been said is you know your body. If something changes, something doesn't feel right, it's okay. As I look from a 52-year-old man to a 56-year-old man, it's okay to go, you know what, I'm just going to swing by the doctor and just find out.
Right.
It's okay to be preventative. It's okay to ask, and it's okay to get the checkup.
You get lucky, and you continue on.
Right.
So, But I do. I miss Wolfgang. I love what I'm doing, and I couldn't be able to do this if it wouldn't have been for him and Cumulus. And I probably don't say that enough either, that you give a 56-year-old bald guy an opportunity to be on radio, which I belong on. I belong on radio.
Oh yeah. It's You got a strong voice and you're slightly opinionated. So yeah, you're pretty good.
I got that part down. I just want to say thank you to them and thank you to everybody, and especially you, because it's not something that you've never done before, and it's so much fun to be able to do it with somebody else, to be able to talk and do this.
Right.
Because
it does make it easier in the studio here to, or anywhere we do this to, I mean, you're filling 2 hours by yourself. That you've got that notepad filled up a lot, still it makes it easier to bounce things off each other.
Right. And I, you know, it makes it fun. So appreciate you as always. And everybody else and everybody listening, and Wolfgang, my brother, I love you. Tiff, I love you as well. Nana and Jen, everybody.
I know, bud.
All right. You're listening
to... The world loves you too, bud.
And we're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I will be back in here tomorrow. Then I'm off on Thursday, Friday.